As far as that goes, I guess I'd have to say I've never seen an hour in my life, a moment that I didn't need the Lord, need His help. We live in a day when it's supposed to be the age of modern man. And for it to be the day of modern man, I'll tell you, it's a trying day and hour that we live. A trying day and hour that we live. But it's good to be in the Lord's house. Grateful and thankful that we have been granted the great privilege and honor one more time to come and gather in His name, sing His songs, seek His face, inquire of Him for the help. I thought of Jeremiah this morning when he said, "Oh, that my head were of waters and mine eyes a river of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Boy, I tell you, if we look around and we won't have to look far, there is a tremendous amount to pray for, ask God in behalf of. I know in my heart and my soul I covet your prayers. We need the help of the Lord tremendously. I'm reminded continually, without Him we can do nothing. And I'll tell you, that covers us from every waking conscious moment of our existence. Without Him we can do nothing. But through and by Him, through and by the Lord, He's made us more than conquerors. We don't have to live a defeated life. As Job said, and we mentioned him quite a bit this morning, he said, "Though the skin worms devour this flesh, yet shall I see God for myself and not another." What a privilege. What a goal. What an aim that I will be able to see the Lord for myself, not another. I hope that we've seen Him right here today. I hope that He's been made manifest through and by His Word. As reminds me of, I believe it was Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us." And he said, "Have I been so long with thee that you've not seen it?" They're inseparable. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're inseparable. If you've seen one, if they've been one made manifest to you, I'm glad to report all three, without a doubt, has made their presence known. Somebody, something on your heart tonight you feel like you need to say or do for the Lord in any way? Anybody? Have your Bibles, would like to read with us. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for the day. Thank God for His help this morning. Matthew 11. And we'll look at the last three verses of this chapter. Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Tremendous passage. Grateful and thankful you may be seated. Thank you so much for the reverencing of the Lord's Word, and I covet your prayers. I could not seem to get away from this afternoon, looking and studying, and it just kept coming to us over and over, and looking at it and running different references on it and definitions of these words that we take for granted so many times. And I'm glad that God is able to prick us in our heart by His Word. I know when we look at this, we think about a message to the lost, but I believe this is a message to everybody that'll hear it. When the Lord said here, "Come unto me," if you look at this chapter and you look at the preceding chapter, and in the preceding chapter He called His disciples unto Him. He gave them the gifts and the power over unclean spirits, and He sent them out, and He told them He sent them out as sheep before wolves. And He goes on and he also tells them about the offenses that will come and the troubles and heartaches that they'll face. And And then in the start of this chapter, you can find where John had sent his disciples to Jesus, and Jesus had sent back to take John's word. And he also said here concerning John the Baptist that the greatest, none greater than him. And he gets down to here, and he begins to upbraid some of the cities before he gets to where we read. And my goodness, what an upbraiding that he gave some of these cities. I would like to look at that just a little bit, and maybe read it and just say a word or two. But listen very close. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. What an upbraiding. What an upbraiding that he's telling a city that what was done in you, I didn't do in this city over here that I destroyed. I destroyed this city, but if the works that were done in you were done in them, they would have repented. Mm-hmm. That's God. That's authority. And he is very direct to them in the next verses. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Boy, I'll tell you what. Now, these are words that's coming from the mouth of God to a city that without a doubt he had displayed to them the power and the authority of God himself. And they just wouldn't hear. They wouldn't repent. But without a doubt, I believe in those cities, such as it is even today in our cities, they are a vast number. We'd have to testify that they are a vast number that refuses to hear the Word of God. They are a vast number, but thank God for the remnant.
Right.
Thank God for them that will hear.
Right.
Thank God for them that He's plucked us as a brand from the burning. We might live in a crooked and perverse generation. We might have to occupy till he comes, as he said in another place, and
right.
We should labor to do so.
Right.
But we might live in a world of devils, but here we are.
Yeah.
We're still alive. We still have our strength. We still are able to live, move, and have our being. And I believe that's what he's saying in these last few verses. Come unto me.
Right.
Come unto me. These right. people run into everything in this world.
Right.
Children, run to the Lord.
Yeah.
Run to him. Run to that you know is stable. Flee this world and its corruption. All of its doctrines and its defilement of life, flee that, but come unto me. He said, come unto me. And this is not God speaking, if you will, my friend, to just these people here, just this generation in his book. But I have to believe and am convinced in my heart, he's saying it to me.
Sure.
He's asking me, Mike, come unto me.
Right.
Do I get burdened? Do I get worried and wearisome? Amen. My mind will surpass my consciousness. My thoughts will surpass all, my friend, that I could ever begin to fathom. But God is able abundantly to whisper into my heart and move me to come unto him.
Right. Yeah.
And friend, let me tell you something. It is a joy. It is great confidence. It is a tremendous amount of rest when a man knows that he's got to the presence of God
Amen.
Himself.
Yes.
Not just and I wrestled even this morning in prayer before it was early in the day and trying to center my mind and my thoughts. And I don't want to get caught up in an emotion or a sense of consciousness of rhythm, tradition, of prayer. I want to talk to God.
Right.
I want my heart to touch His heart. I want His heart to touch mine. And many times in our lives, and I've done my best to examine me, I don't want indoctrination to pollute the righteousness that God is willing to give me.
Right.
And it happens.
Oh, sure.
It's happened to us all. But He said, come unto me. I believe that even as in my mind when Esther was fixing to go in before the king, she got ready to talk to God. She got ready, if you will, to talk to the king.
Yeah.
I know, my friend, there's times in my life, It takes me a while to get old me ready to talk to God. It takes me, my friend, a little bit of self-denying, self-getting out of the way, sure, that I might really go to the Lord.
Right.
And not just go through a form, not just find myself in a fashion of religion, but get down to business and talk to God. I love that.
Yeah.
Big difference in just going through the motions.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. It can avail so much. And Jesus is saying here, come unto me. Now, this was the days of the law. This was the days of the temple. This was the days of physical sacrifice. And Jesus is saying, come unto me. Come unto me. Friend, he is the door. There is no other way to get to God.
No.
There's no other way to find peace. There's no other way to find rest. But he's saying, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye. Come. No, I'm sorry. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come. Mm. Now, this is pretty plain. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, there's some who live free-minded, free-spirited, if you will. There are those, if you will, have found the living of their own hand in the day of God's visitation. They're going to come up mighty poor, but they some didn't seem like they prosper on every side. They got this, they go there, they do that. My friend, and it seemed like in my heart today as I looked at this, God's not concerned with this, that the labor of our hands. My friend, but they that labor in his labors, them that labor, my friend, in the things that are right.
Right.
And the remnant, my friend, of the remnant in which we live today, children, you that labor to enter into that rest, as he teaches us in the book of Hebrews, and my friend, as we labor to believe, as we contend against, and my friend, the wiles of the devil, that we might find the leadership of the Spirit, ye that labor in this place. What hinders our labors? Fiery darts of the wicked.
Sure.
Temptations and trials. The outward man contending against the inward man. The inward man constantly having to lean upon the cross of Calvary. The inward man constantly having to shake himself from the dust of this world and press toward the mark that fight of faith is which God has put in everlasting one of us. And my Lord in heaven, God help us. A friend, this labor, all ye that labor, there's many today that's got religious minds, but their hearts never labor.
Right. Right.
There's many today that's got religious traditions, but their souls are never labored. But my friend, if you're laboring, Jesus has got something for you. If you're the one that's working by faith, working in this great field and labor of love,
right,
God's got something for you.
Yeah.
It's not a fruitless labor.
No.
It's not, my friend, something that's so cumbersome that it'll weary your life to non-existence. But I'll tell you, you can be fathomly rich in God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden. Now, I understand that some people carry a load. I can promise you this. I've run multi-million dollar projects for companies. And I've had to balance very large budgets, that money that wasn't mine, but I was yet responsible for. And those jobs sometimes will really weigh upon your mind. But listen to me very closely. There's no labor that I've ever found in this world that can be more heart-binding and more heart-breaking than, my friend, the labor of love for the house of God.
Oh, yeah.
For them, my friend, who get their feet entangled in briars, who you catch staring off down toward the fair plains of Sodom, for them that are at ease in Zion, my friend, that heart's labor. Oh, God, gather them in. Lord, let us eat. Father, send down the fire. God, stir up our inward man by the way of remembrance. Lord, pass by. Break up our fallow breath. There's a tremendous labor and burden to bear there.
Well.
But it's not without reward. It's not without satisfaction of knowing, having to all to stand there for. There's a great comfort in knowing that God has called us to rest. Listen on.
Blessing.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, And listen to this. I could not get away from this. And though we've read it 100,000 times, I guess. He said, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Now this is the great Creator saying these things.
Right.
You read over there in the book of Colossians, and you'll find that there was not anything made that He did not create.
Right.
Friend, this is the Creator. This is the voice of God. This is God incarnate in the flesh. The one who stepped out on nothing and said, let there be life. And there was life. The one that took a ball of mud and made a world out of it. My friend, this great Creator said this. What are you saying, preacher? Friend, He is able to create rest in you. Do you hear me? When God comes by your heart, when the great Creator says, I will give you rest, God can take rest and put it in your heart. How can you buy it? You think if you get all your bills paid, you'll be at rest? You think if you get everything that you owed paid for, you'll be at rest? You think if you get this accomplished or that accomplished, you'll be at rest? I promise you this. Some of us are worrywarts. We'll find something to worry over.
Sure.
But listen. He's speaking to those that are laboring and are heavy laden. Them that are working in His vineyard. Them that are concerned with the spiritual outcome of somebody's life. Who is it you're praying for? Surely you've got somebody that occupies 51% of your prayer time. Right? That person that you've got upon your heart. Probably 80% of the day. Whenever you think of the house of God. Or whenever you think about somebody's life. Who is that one person that God's laid upon your heart? And you're laboring toward that one. Or this field, this person, or this group of people, where you're laboring, friend, God Himself said, I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. I marvel at men who carry heavy loads. And it doesn't seem as if they're even toting a feather. Why? Because they are adorned with the rest of God.
Right.
It seems, if you will, it's like this. Their strength never fails. Why? Because God's give them rest.
Yeah.
They're new every morning, His mercies. Yeah. My friend, they're able to undergird a feller and cause him to want to pull up his bootstrings and run. Oh, let me go a little farther today, God, than I've ever been with you before. But now listen to me. You're not going to drag things of this world along with you.
Uh-uh.
No good soldier, he'll get rid of those things you don't need. Those things that slow him down. Those things that jingle in the night and make noise. He'll get rid of them because he wants to make good time. Listen on. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can't get past that. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Now, this is not saying stand still and I'm going to gird you. But my friend, this is saying take my yoke upon you. That means that you, in your heart, you spiritually, you as a child of God are going to have to, if you will, reach by faith and get the yoke of God and put it on. What do you think this yoke is made out of?
Bless Him, God.
In your mind's eye, in your conscience, in your pure mind, by way of remembrance that God's able to stir. What do you think this yoke is made out of? I cannot help but believe the main substance of its existence is love, 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 love. Why, preacher? Because love will cover a multitude of sin. My friend, love will cause you to be able to pray for your enemies. Love will provoke your heart to godliness. Love will cause you to deny yourself, your wants, your wills, your ways, and go after that you're bound to. Remember this morning we said, you'll be faithful to whatever it is you're married to? Amen, we are. Whatever you're married to, you'll be faithful to it. Understand this, my friend, when you get this yoke in its right place, it's not uncomfortable.
No.
My friend, it's not something that is an added load, but you'll find that it fits you very well.
I'm reminded sometimes, friend, of this passage of Scripture where that David was on fleeing for his life from the presence of Saul. And he got down there to the priest's house, and many of you know the story. You've read the book where he told the priest, our business was so hastily, we brought neither sword nor spear. Have you any weapons here? Lo and behold, guess what was there? Wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Guess what was there? The sword of Goliath. My goodness. What a coincidence. No, divine providence. David's reply was, give it me, for there's not another like it.
Right.
Friend, I promise you this, when the yoke of God is upon your heart and upon your life, and your life being a willing vessel, it is nothing less than a benefit in every avenue of the direction God will lead you. Because you won't go nowhere without him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Oh, goodness, let us spend just a little moment here.
Mike Freeman, you don't know everything. Jim Pruitt, you don't know everything. David, well, we go all over the house.
Right.
We don't know everything. And most of the time, our knowledge is clouded.
Yeah.
Most of the time it is. We get these suspicions that rise in our consciousness. No. What did he mean by that? What was she trying to say? Listen to me. We need to learn of him.
Right.
Mankind, it seems to, if you will, we are constantly trying to figure out the why and the what for. One of my children's famous questions to me growing up was, why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Why? And I know in my own heart and life, I've seen that made manifest in my own consciousness. Why, God? Why? I could promise you, we could sit here till daylight in the morning and we could wonder the whys for what's wrong with this world. Yeah. But the Bible told you and I not to ask why, but to learn of him. He said, learn of me. Now, if we stop for just a second and look into the Scriptures, you're going to find over there in the book of Hebrews, in the 5th chapter, you're going to find where it says something along these lines. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things in which he suffered. Now, if the Son of God, and my friend, that's that passage referring to him, had to learn these things, how much have we got to learn about Jesus? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, amen on me.
Right.
I tell you what, I got a lot to learn about Jesus.
Yeah.
But listen to me. He's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me. Church, we got a lot of learning to do.
Yeah.
We've not arrived. We've not got to the place where that we're even seniors in high school.
No.
When in all honesty, we ought to be degreed lawyers with 7, 8, 9, 10 years of college for the years that we've spent at the house of God and had free rein to the access of the Word of God and the opportunity to pray as much as we want to. We ought to be scholars.
Yeah.
When that I'm without a doubt the least among you. I've got a lot to learn about God. Because God is reminding me, come unto me, son. Well, preacher, that's for the lost. No, I tell you, it's for the children. I believe, my friend, it's for them that don't, that get, if you will, in the lackadaisical state of religious thoughts and rhetoric. I tell you, we need to come to Jesus. Understand this. I had this statement come to me one time, and I was able to reply, and I didn't think about it until after it was out of my mouth, and I walked on down the hallway and I said, thank you, Lord, because of what it spoke to me in this. Somebody said, well, he needs to have a come to Jesus moment. And before I thought it come out of my mouth, yeah, there's a day in my life that I needed it, but I couldn't get to him until I had a Jesus come to me minute. What are you saying, Mike? You can't come to Jesus unless you know him. You don't know how to get there. You can't get there on your own.
No.
There got to be an inward drawing power to get you to him.
Right.
Remember what we preached about this morning, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God.
We can't get to him unless he comes to us. And now he said, here, come unto me.
Yeah.
Friend, when the Lord calls, then you can come to Him. Children of God, saved and born again, washed in the blood, name in the Lamb. We can get to Him when He calls us. It is the goodness of God. The book of Romans teaches us this plainly. It is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance.
Yeah, right.
What does this tell me? This tells me that I'm not going to up and say, God, I'm sorry, at the drop of a hat. He's going to have to lead me to that place to say, God, I'm sorry. How do you know, preacher? Because I've been there. Another thought that came to me this afternoon concerning this scripture is that I can testify that this 28th, 29th, and 30th verse has been proving itself into my life. It has. I know this to be the truth. I also know this, that there have been times in my heart and in my life I needed to repent. And I knew I needed to repent. And I wanted to get that behind me. But God let me stay there long enough to get sick of that sin.
Right.
And
Then
at the opportunity of repentance, I was glad to repent.
Sure.
But those who can go on down that road and never look back, and my friend Waller in that hog mire, if you will, right on and on and on, I tell you, I wonder if they've ever been to Jesus. But if you've ever been to Jesus, when He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, he says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let me spend just a little bit more time on this yoke, and then we'll go on. As I said, without a doubt, the substance of this yoke is love, love, love. If you want a physical representation of this yoke, you hold it in your lap. You got it right here in front of you. But you're going to have to love this to dig in it. You're going to have to love what you're going to find when you go to digging in this, or you're not going to dig. But my friend, when you get a taste of Him that He is gracious, and you know that He is, and that, my friend, that He is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek, when you get to that place, you're going to love what you find. And you're going to want to bind it about your neck. Let us run. I won't keep you much longer. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You're talking about the Son of God.
Right.
That's dealing with the lives of mankind. I don't have time nor the vocabulary to get into the imps of this, but I want to make a short, quick statement. It is an eternal miracle that God would save any of us.
Oh, yeah.
It is an eternal miracle that God would even save one of us, let alone that we'd be blessed with such a remnant in an evil and wicked, perverse world. The heart of man is desperately wicked.
Right.
We're worse than the Moabites. We're enemies of God until born again. It's a miracle that He had saved any of us. But thank God He has. Thank God that He has. Maybe He'll let us preach on that one of these days. It's a tremendous thought we had the other day, and I bless His name for it. But listen on. For I am meek and lowly in heart. My goodness, what a compassionate God. What a God with pity. What a God with complete understanding. Knowing that we are but dust, and that God of gods and Lord of all lords and King of all kings would, if you will, reach down to our existence. I am meek and lowly at heart. That we can't only not just get to God, but we can get to His heart.
Oh, yeah.
The very center of His being. Mm-hmm. The very substance of His existence. The very place in which we can abide. He says, I am meek and lowly at heart. Oh, God, help us to see it. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, I tell you, we want rest for our flesh. We want rest for our weary minds. We want rest for all of our heartaches and sorrows. God Himself is promising rest for your soul. Let me tell you something, friend. When your soul finds itself at rest with God, that is a tremendous rest. Mm-hmm. when your very center and eternal being has a place of tranquility in the presence of God, you talk about peace. You talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. I need to find a definition that I've written down. I believe it's in Peter. Bear with me, please. Yes, this is in Peter. It's in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And he says in the 14th verse of the 3rd chapter, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Now, this is Peter's writing, and he's speaking about the coming of God. But now, notice what he said here, in peace. And when you look up the words of the definition of these words, this word "in" and "peace," it is impossible for the interpreters who have just put the word "peace" there, but they had to put the word "in peace," because it means this. Listen, the tranquil state of the soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever that it is. That's peace. That's peace with God. My friend, I know that we may have a little bump in the road, maybe with this person there, or maybe with this person over there, or maybe with this customer here, or maybe with this store over there. Who knows the bumps in the roads that we all have? But listen to me. Have you got peace with God? Right now.
Right.
Right now. Hath God come on the scene, split the skies. Have you got peace with God? Are you assured of your salvation? Have you got that tranquil state of peace? He'll do me no harm. I'm part of His. But them that don't know God, I'll tell you what, at the very thought and conscious of God coming, it's got to wreak fear in their lives. That today, that tonight, should they close their eyes and not wake up, they'll know no peace. The Bible says the Bible says this concerning the wicked: there is no peace to the wicked, saith my God. Let me tell you something, my friend. You think this world's got trouble. You think that it's upside down and backwards. Them that are plunged off into the regions of the damned, I'll tell you what, they are in everlasting torments and chains for eternity. They'll never know peace. Never. Listen to this. "I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Remember earlier when I said, love being the yoke and this being the yoke. And you know how the flesh will say, well, the Bible's so convoluted, they're lost. The Bible's so hard to understand, they're lost. I tell you, His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Now this word light, I looked it up. And I know that sometimes we might think of light as L-I-T-E. We might think of light as it's written here, L-I-G-H-T. And my friend, my job being what it is, I'm very acquainted with light and light fixtures and foot candles and a Kelvin color of lights of what they produce. And my friend, but when I look this word up, light, in Strong's Concordance, my friend, and the way that it's there, it's in a sense of a new creation. That blessed me. That light is in a sense a brand new.
Right.
That light is in a sense, my friend, as has it never been before, but now is.
Right.
Let me tell you something. His mercies are new every morning. And preach to me the gospel of the cross, it never gets old. And to see someone born again, I tell you what, that's wind in my sail. To see the conviction of the Holy Ghost upon a heart that doesn't know God, I'll tell you what, it's like kicking me in the ribs and say, run, run, fight, believe that God may be glorified in what He's about to raise from the dead. My goodness, what a joy that God would still say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. My, how he upbraided the cities. My, how he tore them to shreds with the convictions of what could have been done in other places but was done in you, and you still didn't repent. But then he says this, without a doubt, there was some there that was the remnant of a remnant, as it is in our day. You're not going to find people that love the house of God, love the word of God, love the work of God. You're going to find people today that they got their lives made, so to speak, and they just want to slip it up into neutral for the rest of the journey. Oh, I don't want to be found doing so. No, I want to work until my last opportunity. I want to see somebody else get another rung on the ladder and with everything in them and trembling hands, pull up, get a little higher, dig a little deeper. I want to be found of all of us coming unto Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, not we ourselves. As the great man of God wrote so well, by the hand of God, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Right.
Go back and look at the definition of grace. Oh, I know you've heard me say it a lot. It's more than the broad brush, the unmerited favor. When you look up grace and it says this, the unmerited, the divine influence of God. God's divine influence. That almighty eternal being, God Himself, influencing our heart. None of us would have ever come to God if He hadn't come to us first.
Sure.
None of us would have. But He appealed to our heart. God, with His divinity and His divineness and His grace and His mercy, He influenced our heart to come unto me. That divine influence on the heart until it's reflected in the life. And then it kindles in us a fire to perform the great majesty and work of our almighty Savior and King. It builds in us, if you will. It's like a trickling fountain, sometimes a well springing up. It fills us up, starts to run us over. And the next thing you know, there's evidence on the outside because of what's going on the inside. Welcome to grace. It's all been done by God. You can't drum it up yourself. You can't make yourself make it happen. Oh, but if we'll come to Jesus, if we'll take all these heavy burdens wherein we've been laboring and lay them at His feet, take His yoke and put it upon us. Take it. That means you're going to have to reach and get it. I see faith taking place right there. Oh, you talk about a changed life. A desire to walk closer. A desire to know more. As it's been said so many times, He's more than anybody ever told me about Him. Is that not the truth? Have you ever said, okay, Lord, that's enough, no more? I've never found myself there. In fact, I must confess this. As soon as I could come back to my consciousness, I wanted to get back to where I was. Just for a moment. God help us. May we be found of God coming unto Him. Somebody, something on your heart? Need to say or do for the Lord.